expressed the Japanese government's interest in supporting the free nutritious meals program that was recently launched in Indonesia. This was conveyed by Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto after their meeting at the Bogor Presidential Palace Saturday. In a joint press statement, President Prabowo Subianto said that Japan has long experience in providing nutritious food for children that can support the Indonesian government's program. According to Prabowo Subianto, Japan offers a number of initiatives to make the program a success.
Dan mereka juga berminat untuk bantu di bidang makan bergizi karena mereka pun punya pengalaman.
And they are also interested in helping in the field of nutritious food because they have 80 years of experience in that field and they offer their initiative to help, perhaps with training and so on. Meanwhile, Prime Minister Ishiba Shigeru said the Japanese government will organize a bilateral cooperation package to provide free nutritious lunches for children. According to him, the cooperation package includes training for nutritious lunch providers, sending experts and assistants to improve the fisheries and agriculture sectors. Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto and Japanese Prime Minister Shigeru Ishiba agreed to bolster defense cooperation between their countries, which encompasses a transfer of technology related to the main defense system and equipment. In addition, they agreed to establish a discussion forum for defense practitioners and hold a 2+2 meeting involving the foreign and defense ministers from both countries. During a joint press statement with President Prabowo Subianto at the Bogor Presidential Palace on Saturday, Ishiba also announced that Japan, through its official security assistance cooperation framework, would grant Indonesia a high-speed patrol vessel. Meanwhile, the Indonesian Coast Guard earlier signed an agreement to receive a grant from the Japanese government for the construction of an offshore patrol vessel, which will be built by Mitsubishi Shipbuilding Company. The construction is fully funded by Japan through the Japan International Cooperation Agency, JICA. Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto emphasized Indonesia's diplomatic commitment to fostering sound relations with all countries and major economic blocs, emphasizing no side-taking in its approach. During a joint press statement with Japanese Prime Minister Shigeru Ishiba at the Bogor Presidential Palace on Saturday, he expressed Indonesia's keenness to maintain these robust relations to reduce geopolitical tensions among major powers. In addition, President Prabowo Subianto also addressed various topics, including cooperation between their nations, regional and global challenges, and their mutual commitment to enhancing existing partnerships. The leaders also agreed to continue collaborating in key areas such as economic and infrastructure development, energy security, and industrial downstreaming, as well as cooperation in the agriculture, human resources, and health sectors. President Prabowo Subianto also extended an invitation to the Japanese government to participate in Indonesia's ongoing downstreaming or industrialization initiatives. The Prime Minister is the first foreign country leader to be received by President Prabowo Subianto at the Bogor Palace since his inauguration as President of Indonesia in October 2024. Indonesian Chamber of Commerce and Industry Chairman Anindya Bakri highlighted 4 priority sectors for cooperation with Pakistan, namely food security, energy security, health and defense. While meeting with Pakistani Ambassador to Indonesia, Amir Khurram Rathoren, on Saturday, he noted that Pakistan, being a significant Muslim nation, possesses strengths in defense, health, agriculture, and energy, making it essential to enhance cooperation in these sectors. The Pakistani ambassador said that in August there will be trade missions and expos from both Pakistan and Indonesia, which will be good initiatives. To facilitate these upcoming activities, the Indonesian Chamber of Commerce and Industry plans to collaborate closely with the Pakistani counterpart to boost bilateral trade. Ambassador Amir Khurram Krattori emphasized that Indonesia and Pakistan, as partner countries with strong religious and cultural ties, possess a favorable foundation for developing robust business and trade cooperation. The Ministry for the Protection of Indonesian Migrant Workers is mapping job opportunities to achieve the target of sending 425,000 Indonesian migrant workers overseas this year. Indonesian Minister for the Protection of Migrant Workers, Abdul Kadir Karding, said on Saturday that the mapping is important considering the availability of prospective migrant workers from different backgrounds, ranging from graduates of vocational schools and job training institutions to job training centers. Several ministries will also be involved to improve the capacity and capability of each prospective migrant worker. Minister Karding emphasized the need to develop the capacity and capability of prospective migrant workers to enable them to join the international workforce in order to reduce unemployment and poverty rates in Indonesia. The target of sending at least 425,000 migrant workers this year, he added, is expected to boost Indonesia's economic growth by 0.52% and generate potential foreign exchange earnings of more than 300 trillion rupiahs. Indonesian Manpower Minister Yasir Arli emphasized that the first half of 2025 is crucial for determining Indonesia's success in realizing its Golden Indonesia 2045 vision, which aims to transform the nation into an advanced country. Minister Yasir Arli made this statement during a national dialogue titled Strengthening Manpower Aspects in Supporting National Economic Growth at Andalas University in Padang, West Sumatra on Saturday. He identified two primary factors that underscore the significance of Indonesia's progress in 2025, namely constraints on the state budget and the challenging state of the global economy. If Indonesia successfully navigates these challenges in 2025 by effectively executing President Prabowo Subianto's strategic agenda, he projected that economic growth could reach 8% in 2026 and 2027 and potentially continue in subsequent years. During the national dialogue, Minister Yasir Arli outlined some of the President's economic sector targets, one of which is achieving food self-sufficiency, particularly in staples. The Indonesian Ministry of Agriculture has formed the National Food and Mouth Disease Task Force as a strategic measure to check its spread in livestock in Indonesia. This task force is aimed at ensuring collaboration and synergy in harmonizing the foot and mouth disease or FMD control down to the regional level. The Ministry's Director General of Livestock and Animal Health, Agung Suganda, stated in a press conference on Saturday, the task force involves various farmers' associations and professional groups such as the Indonesian Animal Husbandry Graduates Association and the Indonesian Association of Veterinarians. According to Suganda, the National Task Force will monitor FMD handling in all regions, including responding to reports from livestock farmers. The Ministry of Agriculture has readied 4 million vaccine doses to handle the FMD outbreak in Indonesia. He expressed optimism that the establishment of the National Task Force would soon be followed by the reactivation of the FMD Task Force in various provinces, districts, and cities that were formed earlier in 2022. That was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijayakasi, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Spotlight of the week is on free nutritious meal program will continue to be improved. The Indonesian government has launched the free nutritious meal program in 190 locations spread across 26 provinces on Monday, January 6th. This program is intended for various groups of beneficiaries, including toddlers, Students from early education, kindergarten, elementary schools, high school, and Islamic boarding schools, as well as pregnant and lactating women. The number of beneficiaries is planned to continue to increase to reach 15 million people by the end of 2025. A total of 190 nutrition fulfillment service units, or kitchens, operate in 26 provinces. Each kitchen is managed by a unit head who is directly appointed by the National Nutrition Agency. The head works with a nutritionist and an accountant to ensure that nutritional quality is maintained and food distribution runs smoothly. The chairman of the National Economic Council, Luhut Binsar Panjaitan, said that the effectiveness of the free nutritious meal program requires evaluation. In a press conference in Jakarta on Thursday, he reminded that this program has only been running for a week. Even so, he ensured that he would continue to monitor the development of the program, including reminding the public to see the balance of the program. Although there are still things that need to be evaluated, the benefits of the program cannot be ignored. For example, the Free Nutritious Meals program encourages the rotation of economic activity in the village because the local community is empowered to process food that will be distributed to school students. The chairman of the National Economic Council said that students who receive a free nutritious meals apparently enjoy the food provided. Meanwhile, health observer Chandra Yoga of the World Food Programs, or WFP organization, said that every day there are millions of children who go to school with empty stomachs. According to him, the organization for the past 6 decades has supported more than 100 countries so that all school children have access to meal at school, including so that all school children can stay healthy and ready to learn. Chandra Yoga added that the WFP program has shown transition results in 50 countries. In general, it supports meal programs that cover more than 106 million school children in 77 countries. Its main goal is that by 2030, all children will have access to healthy food at school every day. That was this week's Spotlight.
Thank you.
Today in History with January the 12th, 2010, Haiti earthquake. The 2010 Haiti earthquake with a magnitude of 7 occurred with an epicenter 16 kilometers from Port-au-Prince on January the 12th, 2010. The epicenter was at a depth of 10 kilometers. January the 12th was designated as Earthquake Remembrance Day in Haiti. This commemoration was initiated to honor the victims of the earthquake that hit Haiti in 2010. The 7 magnitude earthquake claimed 220,000 lives, injured 330,000 people, and 1.5 million people lost their homes. Moving on to January 12, 2006, the Hajj incident in Mina. A stampede during the stoning ritual on the last day of Hajj pilgrimage in Mina, Saudi Arabia, killed around 246 pilgrims and injured around 289 others. The incident occurred at around 1 p.m. local time, when dozens of pilgrims arrived at the Jamarat Bridge together. This caused panic among pilgrims and resulted in a stampede. Around 2 million people were reported to have participated in the ritual at that time. I'll end today in history with January the 12th, 2016, Istanbul bombing. On January the 12th, 2016, at 10:20 a.m. local time, a suicide bomber blew himself up among a group of foreign tourists in the Sultan Ahmet Old City, Istanbul, Turkey. 11 people were killed and 14 others were injured by the incident. The suicide bomber was confirmed as Nabil Fadli, a Saudi-born Syrian nationalist member of the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, ISIS. That was today in history.
Hello listeners, in this week's listener's mailbag, we would like to thank our dear listeners wherever you are who have sent their letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. Now let's start answer their letters or emails. First, I would like to reply to an email from Mr. Anand Mohan Bain in India. He was listening to our broadcast in Japanese at 12 to 1 p.m. UTC through frequency 4755 with simple 444. Hello, sir. Thank you so much for sending audio recording about our Japanese broadcast. It was so clear. I forwarded your email to Japanese section. Please be patient for the reply. Thank you. As appreciation, I'll play a beautiful song special for you. So keep listening to Voice of Indonesia.
Sama, tak seperti saat pertama. Aku bilang mungkin pikiranmu saja.
Kamu bilang ku tak peduli, tak seperti pertama kali. Aku bilang jangan lagu sendiri.
kamu berubah.
Dulu ku sekarang gajah. Aku bilang semua manusia berubah.
Listen to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world on the frequency 3325 and 4755 kHz, website voinews.id and RRI Digital Mobile App channel VOI. In today's edition, we'll give information on My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
My Indonesia today is on NPC Creates Breaking Boundaries Program to Pursue. The Indonesian National Paralympics Committee, or NPC, has created a program called Breaking Boundaries to recruit potential young athletes from 38 provinces in Indonesia while mapping sports talents for disabled. The goal of the program is player regeneration and a long-term program to pursue slots and achievements at the 2028 Los Angeles Paralympics. The General Chairperson of the Indonesian National Paralympic Committee, or NPC, Feni Marbun, as quoted from the official NPC statement Wednesday, said that Indonesia, as a big country, should not only get one or two gold medals at the Paralympics. To get potential athletes, the NPC must actively go down to the regions to get high-quality material. The Breaking Boundaries program, which will be held from March to December, targets young athletes with a maximum age of 23 years. Each province is given a target of up to 100 athletes to be monitored by a team of experts from NPC Indonesia. Athletes who will be monitored also consist of three categories, namely physical disabilities, 50%, intellectual disabilities, 25%, and visual disabilities, 25%. 100 selected athletes from the Breaking the Limits or Breaking the Boundaries program will undergo training camps in Solo City. NPC Indonesia Chair Seni Marbun said the athletes would be monitored according to their potential. After that, they would be brought to Solo for a 3-month training camp. This to see if their abilities and their achievements can be developed. Also to see how willing and mentally prepared they are. The young athletes from the Breaking the Boundaries programs have the potential to undergo training at the Indonesian Paralympics Training Center located in Delingan, Karanganyar, Regency, Central Jawa. There are 10 sports that can train there after it is officially opened. This program is also part of NPC Indonesia's efforts to provide equal opportunities to people with disabilities throughout Indonesia. That was my Indonesia Sunday.
Voice of Indonesia.
Now we will reply to an email from Abid Hussain Sajid in Pakistan. He was listening to English program to frequency 4755 kHz at 1:30 to 2 p.m. with SIO 444. In his email, he also sent audio recording of our English program. Hello, sir. Thank you so much for your reception report. I'm so happy because our English program was able to hear clearly in your country. As appreciation, I'll play a beautiful song for you, so enjoy the song.
Banyak yang ku lewati, banyak yang ku alami, kenanganmu tersimpan di hati. Walau ku harus pergi, walau ku harus berlari, kenanganmu terasa di hati. Saat kau menari dengan tawa, rasa terkesima mulai melebu dalam hati ini, dan ku telah arungi luas semesta. Tapi tak ada yang menolak keinginan parasmu.
I gotta leave, you know, but your eyes is telling me to stay. Shout out to the moments I'm going through. When I do, all I want is you. Would you look at the view? Would I say, would you not say, land it on my soul?
Rasa terkesima mulai melebu dalam hati ini, dan ku telah arungi luas semesta. Tapi tak ada yang mendapatkan indah parasmu.
Thank you.
of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcasts in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on voanews.id and RRE Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Thank you for joining us, the English program from Voice of Indonesia. For the next segment, we'll present to you Indonesian Wonder, which tells about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
Indonesian Wonder today is featuring Kedung Sumpang Beach in East Java. Tulung Agung is a regency located in East Java Province, Indonesia. Its capital is Tulung Agung, which is famous as one of the largest marble producing areas in Indonesia. Tulung Agung District, located 154 kilometers southwest of Surabaya City, the capital of East Java Province, is not only famous for its marble, the area also has a beautiful beach tourist spot, namely Kedung Tumpang Beach, which is precisely located in Pucang Labang Village, East Java. The name of this beach comes from the word Kedung, which means pool of water, and Tumpang, which means tire. This describes the condition of the beach, which has natural pools formed on tire coral reefs. The naturally formed pools have clear turquoise water. These pools can be used for swimming, soaking, or just relaxing. Kedung Tumpang Beach has a unique coral beach. When visiting this beach, you will find coral rocks that have unique shapes. This beach is indeed only suitable for those of you who want to enjoy the beach with an anti-mainstream atmosphere, because the terrain that must be traversed to get to this beach is quite difficult and steep. The beach area is surrounded by many towering cliffs and has a fairly challenging height. For tourists who like to go up, climbing the cliffs in the Kedung Tumpang Beach is something that should not be missed, because when you arrive at the top of the cliff, you will see a very beautiful and pleasing view of the beach and sea. In the Kedung Tumpang Beach area, besides enjoying the beauty of the rocks that have unique shapes and are large in size, the most interesting thing is when the sea waves hit the rocks. Among the rocks eroded by the waves, a pool of seawater is produced that looks like a swimming pool. In the pool on the rocks, tourists can safely swim. Kedung Tumpang Beach, which is only about 35 kilometers from the center of Tulung Agung City, of course has many interesting photo spots. In addition, after traveling and enjoying the beautiful scenery at Kedung Tumpang Beach, tourists can still enjoy the breathtaking sunset. In the morning, this beach will present a beautiful morning panorama with a very warm sunrise, atmosphere. If you want to enjoy both natural phenomena of sunrise and sunset at Kedung Tumpang Beach, tourists can spend the night around the beach by setting up a tent. However, you must prepare all equipment, including wearing safe clothes and shoes for mountain climbing, because the road terrain that must be taken is quite challenging and steep. That was today's edition of Indonesian Wonder. If you are someone who likes to test your adrenaline, you can plan a vacation at Kedung Tumpang Beach in East Java Province, Indonesia. Tomorrow we will meet again with another interesting topic. Bye now. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Before we end our segment, listeners mailbag, I will greet our listeners wherever you are who send New Year's greetings. I'm really sorry because so many people send New Year's greetings and prayer to us, so I cannot mention your name one by one. To all Voice of Indonesia listeners, Happy New Year. Let's hope this new year can bring health and success to all of us. Well, listener, wherever you are, as information, you can access our broadcast, Voice of Indonesia, through 3325 and 4755 kHz and also 7780 kHz, which was broadcast by WRMI. If you have suggestion or criticism, please send the feedback to voilisteners@gmail.com. voilisteners@gmail.com. Now we have to end our segment listeners mailbag, but before that, we still have a beautiful song for you. Happy listening. That was the third song presented by Voice of Indonesia. For the next segment, we present to you Miscellany.
Miscellany today is about Gajah Mada University or UGMU students win main champion of ASEAN Investment Challenge 2024. Another proud achievement was achieved by an undergraduate student of the Faculty of Economics and Business of Gajah Mada University, UGM, Ali Alexander, at the ASEAN Investment Challenge 2024 event. This management study program student from the 2021 batch won the champion title or main champion in Indonesia in the prestigious competition organized by CGS International Securities in Jakarta. The victory at the national level led him to represent Indonesia in the regional competition which will be held this month. ASEAN Investment Challenge is a leading annual investment competition organized by CGS International. This competition aims to encourage students' understanding of sustainable investment and contribute to building a strong stock market in the future. With the theme, Your Galaxy, Your Way, this year's country-level competition will last for 4 months, from August to November 2024. As the leading investment competition in Southeast Asia, the ASEAN Investment Challenge 2024 is attended by more than 1,000 students from all over Indonesia. This competition is divided into two levels, namely country level and regional level. At the country level stage, participants from each country, including Indonesia, Malaysia, Singapore, and Thailand, compete in a series of investment challenges. The main case in this competition is to design an optimal investment strategy to maximize profits amid economic uncertainty. To solve this case, participants are required to build an efficient stock portfolio with a higher return than the composite stock price index, namely by paying attention to diversification, complying with ESG or environmental, social, governance criteria, having a high margin of safety, and seeking opportunities from companies involved in corporate actions, such as acquisitions or mergers. Ali managed to overcome this challenge by implementing a strategy based on index fundamental analysis. Ali managed to build a portfolio with a higher return than the composite stock price index while supporting the ESG sustainability principle. That was Miscellany today.
Indonesia is coming up shortly. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia.
Ini hidupku, bukan hidupmu. Tak perlu ku mengikuti semua langkahmu. Ini mimpiku, bukan mimpimu. Ku dengar suara hati memanggil.
Jangan maksakan, sudah tak.
Janganlah berani percaya, kan kau pasti akan kesana.
Jangan maksakan, katakan mimpimu.
Kau pasti bisa ubah mimpi jadi nyata.
La 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 la
pasti bisa ubah mimpi jadi nyata. Ini saatnya ubah mimpi jadi nyata. Ubah mimpi jadi nyata. Caraku bukan caramu. Cibiran kata hanyalah angin berlalu. Aku beranikan diri dengar suara hati. Jangan berani percaya, engkau pasti akan kesana. Kau pasti bisa ubah mimpi jadi nyata. Ku pasti bisa ubah mimpi jadi nyata. Ini saatnya ubah mimpi jadi nyata. Aku lihat cahaya di sana. Kini aku melangkah ke sana. Tak peduli mereka. Akan berkata apa. Ku masih bisa ubah mimpi jadi.
Listener, today's music corner presents a song titled Aku Tanpa Kamu Tanpa Aku or I'm Without You Without Me. Budi Syahbudin Syukur, or known as Budi Doremi, is an Indonesian singer from Serang, born September 19, 1984. He started his career in 2012 by releasing a single titled Doremi. Since then, his name has been known as Budi Doremi. In November 2024, Budi Doremi released a song with Anggi Marito titled Aku Tanpa Kamu Tanpa Aku. According to Budi, Anggi is good at diving into the emotions needed and conveying them perfectly in a song. In addition, Anggi's vocal color and song themes are in harmony with Budi Doremi. The song tells about regret when a relationship has to end and you have to live without the beloved one. Well, listener, this is Aku Tanpa Kamu Tanpa Aku by Budi Doremi and Anggi Marito. Enjoy.
Seandainya kita lebih lama bertahan, tak berhenti untuk mencoba. Mungkin cerita kita akan berbeda. Seandainya seandainya aku sedikit lebih kuat mempertahankan keyakinanku pada dirimu yang mulai lelah karena mereka tak sampai hati aku merelakan kenyataan ini. Meskipun hatiku selalu meminta kamu untuk kembali, bagaimana aku tanpa kamu, kamu tanpa aku, hanya Tuhanlah yang maha tahu.
Program of Voice of Indonesia on the frequency 3325 and 4755 kHz, streaming at voinews.id and at RA Digital Mobile App Channel VOI. Please give your feedback to our email voilisteners@gmail.com or to our social media Facebook fan page The Voice of Indonesia or Instagram at voi_official voi_official. We are also on TikTok at VOI_official. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel, VOI Official. Well, that's a wrap today's English program from Voice of Indonesia. I'm Rahma signing out and bye for now.
dengar Dakar Korewa Voice of Indonesia desu.日本語で放送されているフォイスオフインドネシアは、インドネシアに関するニュース、情報、エンターテインメントだけでなく、様々な情報を提供します。周波数33.2GHz および4755kHz で、またはウェブサイト www.foinews.id よりLLデジタルアプリケーション KU で毎日放送を視聴したり、アクセスしたりできます。 Selamat malam, konbanwa, Rizna minasan, kyo, watashi, Iisan ga, Nihongo hosou wo okurimasu. Kyo no bangumi wa, niusu kara hajimari, tsuzuite, samazama na Indonesia no jouhou, soshite, ongaku wo okurimasu. Sore de o minasan, mazu wa, niusu wo okiki kudasai. Hiki tsuzuki, shuhasu 332kHz, ya, 4755kHz, ya, ウェブサイト www.foinews.id からフォイスオフインドネシアの放送をお聞きください。
フォイスの皆さん、これからニュースをお伝えします。それでは最初のニュースです。インドネシア特殊部隊司令官ダンジェム・コパスのジョン・アフリアンディ少将は土曜日、東ジャカルタの地上島にあるコパスス本部で中国人民解放軍の劉戦理総参謀長を迎えました。公式声明によると、この会談では両部隊の防衛システム強化について話し合い、